Welcome to episode number 362 of Destination Linux, your favorite video podcast. My name is Ryan.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Jill.
We are going to be covering on this week why you might need to ditch your HDMI-only monitors for DisplayPort instead. Now, before you go and take your monitor and go throw it in a dumpster, wait till you listen to the whole episode. But I'm telling you, by the end of it, you may want to throw your monitor in a dumpster when you hear about what's going on here.
Not a recommendation, just a possibility.
Yeah. We're also going to cover a company going fully open source.
That's awesome.
And their service looks really, really awesome. So we're excited to tell you about that. So let's get the show on the road towards Destination Linux.
So we usually say this at the end of the show, but next week we're going to scale.
That's
so
exciting.
It's very exciting. We have some exciting news for you. I forgot. That's how he starts it. We have some exciting news, people. We're going to scale. Yes. And that means a lot of things. It means that Jill has to put on that hat because that's the scale hat.
Yes.
And also, it means that there might not be an episode next week. We're still working out some kinks, so maybe we might do one, we might not. It's going to be a little bit difficult because we're all traveling and it may or may not work. I do have a little bit of a crazy idea, but just so you know, if it doesn't work out and we don't have an episode, now you've been warned.
It's because that thing we're going to try didn't work. But if there is an episode, then it worked well enough to at least...
To make an episode. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Publish. So we'll just cross your fingers that my crazy idea is going to be successful.
Yes.
And then we'll find out next episode whether
also,
it happens or not.
Right up front, huge thanks to Linbit. Check out linbit.com.
Absolutely.
And the Raspberry Pi Foundation for helping get us to scale and also giving us some giveaways for scale. So
absolutely.
Awesome.
It's fantastic because for those who don't know, going to a conference is not an easy thing to do, especially if you have a booth, especially if you're trying to do a lot of stuff while you're there. And that's what we're doing. And Linbit is helping us out do that because it is a pretty expensive thing to do. And they're sponsoring us to go there. And we couldn't thank them enough for that. So if we would appreciate it if you go check out their website, just go to destinationlinux.net/Linbit. And it's LINBIT. And you can let them know that you appreciate them helping us get to scale. And if you appreciate this show, then you should definitely do that.
Yeah. If you appreciate us, you'll do it. You know who appreciates us, Michael?
Who's
Simeon
that?
In our community feedback. He appreciates us and his exciting new purchase.
Thanks, Simeon.
We love your name, Simeon.
Simeon has this to say. He says, I recently upgraded my main PC from an ASUS X550 VX laptop with a Core i5-6300HQ, 16 gigabytes of RAM and an NVIDIA GeForce GTX 950M to a desktop with a Core i7-8700, 16 gigabytes of RAM and a Radeon RX 5600 XT. And the improvement is enormous. I'm honestly surprised of how well and how smoothly they can run games. Although
that's
the
awesome.
Desktop has compromises, plans on fixing those, like getting a better CPU cooler to upgrade from the stock cooler that's on the thing and still very excited about it. Very good purchase for about $475. I think this is one of the main advantages of going from a laptop to a desktop. You can do those simple upgrades and it's much cheaper because you can do them over time. You can break out those funds over time and you can actually do it, which in a laptop, unless you get a Frameworks, which you're not going to pick up for $475, you know,
that's true.
You're not going to be able to do that. So once again, keep up the good work. It's always good to hear your takes on the latest in tech and all things Linux and open source, your wealth of knowledge. And they put, I run Fedora, by the way. So I like them even more.
Nice.
Simeon's pretty awesome. So this is a really nice upgrade. 6th gen Intel that you had before was released in 2015 to an 8th gen chip. You went from about 2 gigahertz to somewhere around the 3.2 gigahertz base clock. Plus you got a higher turbo clock as well. And then your video card differences are just monumental because you're going from a mobile GPU that's older to a modern GPU in a desktop. Mobile GPUs, even if they carry the same numbers as your desktop equivalent, do not run the same power. You're not going to get the same power out of them, obviously, because they have to be able to run on battery and other things. So generally a little bit underpowered.
And also just much smaller devices, you know?
Yeah, much smaller.
Yeah,
because you see how big GPUs are these days. So,
they're basically the size of a laptop now. You know,
yeah. So it's great. What I love about this is number one, you know, a lot of people go from desktop to laptop, but they're missing out on the opportunity to be able to do those iterative upgrades like we mentioned before. But I think what's also awesome is waiting a few generations to do your upgrades. For a while there, when the prices of PCs were not so high, I was upgrading constantly. Like every other month, I'd have a new GPU, motherboard, CPU, those type of things, RAM. I was just constantly upgrading everything. But reality is you couldn't really see the differences between the generations. It was like I'd get a brand new motherboard and CPU and it'd be like, yay, it's half a nanosecond faster than it was before with the other stuff. So it really wasn't noticeable. But when you wait a few generations and then do your build, you can really see the impact of the new technology and things like you're doing here. So I think, you know, ultimately, it's a great decision that you made here. Really good components. You went with AMD. And that's really important because we're going to talk about how awesome AMD here is later in our show. So it was a really good pick going AMD.
And also the fact that you were talking about how you used to do these quick updates, you know, a month or two in between. And it was really cool because I appreciated the information, the learning through the hardware that you're testing. And because you're always putting Linux on it to see how well it runs. And it's one of those things that if you look at a, like a long time, Linux has always been like, oh yeah, it runs on older computers. You can keep the, you can extend the life of your computer. And I've always heard that so many times. And then you would test it to be like, hey, we have this awesome hardware that it also runs on. It's Let's see how it goes and that sort of stuff. And also I enjoyed those videos. And so it's kind of a bummer that but the bigger bummer for me is that I don't get the hand-me-downs of your stuff that you're upgrading away from. And because that, that has happened on many occasions and I miss
motherboards, CPUs, GPUs,
basically keyboards. Everything. CPUs, GPUs. I think I got multiple GPUs, in fact.
Blame the industry for raising their prices so high that I had to stop upgrading because it just became insane to get a new GPU.
How dare you, like industry.
$1,500.
Not allowing me to just save money from not just waiting for Ryan to upgrade.
Yeah. I need to send you, Michael, one of my systems. I've got plenty.
About 3,000. She'll miss
it. I
have
a couple. I have a couple.
2,999. Not
that many. Oh, and Simeon, thank you for writing in and congratulations. We love getting comments like that. It shows you the power of Linux, you know, and being able to upgrade to a new system, but you can see how much faster it is because you're using Linux. If it, you were using Windows 11, you probably wouldn't notice as fast.
True.
Because there's no such thing as fast Windows.
Yeah. Yeah. And I bet you are enjoying those wonderful AMD Mesa open source drivers that are plug and play, Simeon.
So nice. So nice. Yeah. When I first started using AMD, the experience of switching over to AMD from NVIDIA was so, well, first of all, I went from like a 760 to a much, I think it was the Vega 64, I guess what it's called.
Huge jump,
It was a pretty big jump. So I noticed the difference, but also, but being able to just set it up, plug everything in, and just start doing it at the full level, like you don't have to install proprietary drivers or drivers in general. Like it was, it was fantastic. I loved that. Yeah. So AMD, I've been a big fan of AMD for a while. Actually, since that experience.
Keep it open source, AMD.
Keep it going.
Yeah. And so if you're in the community right now and you're thinking about the build that you want to do, the build that you've already done, or you want to comment on this build or anything else in this show, we want you to be a part of the show by going to destinationlinux.net/comments. Send in your comments. Help us produce the show every single week. If you're not contributing by being a patron, you can contribute by sending in material that might be used in the show.
Mm-hmm. And let Ryan know why that Crocs are still the best pair of shoes that you could buy.
That is, if you send that, I may read it on the show and then make fun of you. Horribly make fun of you.
You can't just say that it's the best shoe. You got to explain why it's the best shoe.
Yeah, you got to prove it. Prove to me why you think Crocs are the best shoe. I can't wait to hear it. And it better be a good explanation, not something simple. I want all the science behind it, the dimensions of the shoe.
The ergonomics of the Croc.
The Croc. You're going to have to really prove this to me if you're going to make that case.
When you go through an airport security, there's one line where you go through to check the TSA, getting your ID checking. And then there's the other line where a machine scans your bag. And then if you're lucky, that's all the lines you have. But sometimes there's a few more, but the same thing happens in enterprise security too. And by the same thing, I mean there's multiple levels of checks, not for passengers and luggage, but for end users and their devices.
And wow, comparing this to an airport is interesting because being in corporate America for so many years, TSA is extraordinarily frustrating, probably the worst part of travel. And corporate security is also the worst part about being a corporation. So I see how those two connect there perfectly.
And also it might connect a little level, but at the point where, you know, the people who are the TSA agents are dealing with stuff that's very frustrating because they're dealing with thousands of people who are doing it wrong and not prepared for certain things at certain times. And then you have the security team who are dealing with people who don't know how to use their devices sometimes. And, you know, wide variety of things. But, you know, these days, most companies are good at the first part of checking user identity. They have some kind of solution there. But user devices, well, that isn't always the case because sometimes they could just roll right through the authentication process without getting inspected at all. Like sometimes your bags might not get inspected at all. In fact, 47% of companies allow unmanaged, untrusted devices to access their data. That means an employee can log in from a laptop that has its firewall turned off and hasn't been updated in 6 months. Like Ryan takes forever to update stuff.
Wait, what? You know? I update all the time. What are you talking about?
Oh, that was me.
That's you.
Right. Yeah, okay. That's you, Michael AI.
You shouldn't be trusted. That's the problem. All these other people, they're
no,
like.
No. I update the stuff that I need to connect to like stuff like this. Just, yeah. You know.
They need, all the corporations need to kick Michael off their network immediately because he's untrusted and unauthenticated.
This system is up to date. I just want to verify that's no longer a problem.
Think about all the apps and things people put on their personal devices. And so many businesses,
oh yeah,
they require you to utilize your personal device as kind of your 2FA and also your security to get into your VPN for your business. And on top of that, they've got TikTok and Facebook and any other random scanning apps.
Or just weird random apps they download that have like tons of ads or, you know, some kind of coupon app or something, you know?
Yeah. And then these apps request permissions, like give me permission to your network. Give me permission to search your network stuff. Give me permission. And the corporations.
Give me permission to your location for some reason.
Yeah, and the corporations are all, their data is going to get zapped up in that app just like anybody else's if there's nothing to stop it.
But luckily, there is something to stop it, and that's called Collide, because Collide solves the device trust problem. They ensure that no device can log into your Okta-protected apps unless it passes your security checks. Plus, you can use Collide on devices without MDM, like your Linux Fleet, contractor devices, and the BYOD, or bring your own device stuff like phones and laptops in your company. So you can have it. And the best part about Collide is that if they find an issue, you don't have to tell the person to contact security team. They can actually explain to them what they need to do to fix the authentication problem, which is fantastic because it saves your team time for working on everybody's device. And it also makes it possible for if someone hits a hiccup, like a roadblock, they can get past it, which is very important. So visit destinationlinux.net/collide to watch a demo and to see how it works. That's destinationlinux.net/KOLIDE. Let's move on to the other topic we're going to talk about, which is also an AMD thing, but let's kind of think about it in a different perspective first.
All right.
Because we're going to talk about something that revolves around a forum, like the HDMI forum to be specific. And forums are fantastic. If you go to tuxdigital.com/forum, you're going to enjoy a wonderful forum. Just so you know, tuxdigital.com/forum. But in the case of HDMI forum, it's a little different. It's kind of like the worst form of
it's
a forum.
It's an evil forum. It's like Senator Palpatine in Star Wars.
Yeah, it's like the Star Wars Council. Yeah, it's basically. So when you're buying a new monitor, you probably don't think a lot about whether it's supported on your system because it's been so long that people have had issues with that. Like CRTs, you'd have issues like which one would work and all that sort of stuff. But at this point, no one really thinks about that because if you have HDMI, it just works. If you have DisplayPort, it just works. Well, that first one may not be true anymore, depending on your configuration. So even though you might have support in your GPU and you might have support in your drivers and you might have all of the connections and ports that you need, well, HDMI Forum has decided that licenses need to be more annoying And so AMD has been shut down on in some ways thanks to HDMI. So Ryan, what happened here?
So AMD, being the great company that they are supporting open source, goes in and says, hey, they're part of the HDMI forum, by the way, which costs $15,000 to be a member. So it's not like...
TuxDigital.com/forum doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, so you don't have to pay.
Free.
Maybe there. We should charge $15,000 to be a part of the forum.
You know what? Okay, yeah, we might. If you join right now, you will get free. It for free. But if you wait...
could be 15
it could grand. Be $15,000.
Which would still be worth it. Still be worth it. Unlike this forum. Exactly. It would be worth it. So AMD is part of this forum, and they wanted to make an open source standard for HDMI 2.1. Now, if you've been paying attention to video cards, you may have noticed that the amount of HDMI ports you have on your video card that you're buying is shrinking. Older cards had 3 or 4 HDMI ports, but now everything is DisplayPort. You have 3 or 4 DisplayPorts, maybe 1 HDMI, sometimes no HDMI at all, depending on which card that you get. So this is interesting because you would think HDMI would be like trying to do something good here to get more people to get back into HDMI, because for a while there, they were kind of the standard and they're slowly kind of losing, you know, the love in there. And now we kind of know why they're losing the love, because AMD's like, hey, we're going to go make an open source version of this standard. We're going to use our engineers to make it. We're going to use our lawyers to make sure that it fits within all the parameters that you've given within your license, and, you know, be able to work it. And then we're going to bring it to you and get this accepted. And so they did all that. They did all this work so that they could get this HDMI 2.1 standard in the kernel for Linux for us. And they came back and said, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. We're not accepting this. So even though they're not violating the license, they've done all the work themselves, the HDMI forum rejected their proposal. And at this point, HDMI 2.1 implementation is not possible to implement into the Linux kernel without running afoul of their requirements. So we don't get that. Now, how's that impact you? Well, if you have AMD FreeSync support on your card, you're not going to be able to use that. So go ahead and throw that out there because you don't have the 2.1. If you're using 4K at 120 hertz, go ahead and throw that out too. You're not going to be able to use that. And no 5K 240 hertz, which I don't think a lot of people have. And if you do, you're probably rich. And if you're rich, just get a DisplayPort at this point. And then don't worry about it. But you won't be able to do that either. And that just sucks. But thankfully, we can use DisplayPort. And Michael, you've done some research on DisplayPort. And there's kind of a reason why we don't have to fear DisplayPort as much.
So I have done a lot of research on it. And it turns out, first of all, if for people who just use it, DisplayPort is better. In my opinion, it's better. Yeah. Just the technologically, the performance, just the features, like everything through DisplayPort is better. And when HDMI comes out with a new version, it's always just playing catch up to DisplayPort. So the next version of DisplayPort will destroy HDMI just like it always has for the past 15 years or something. So it's not really a big deal if people have the access to DisplayPort. But another reason that why DisplayPort is awesome, and the reason why it's so dominant and so much more powerful, is because it is an open standard with no nonsense licensing fees or no membership fees and all of that crap. So there's another reason to use DisplayPort. It's an open standard and it's also better, which is actually kind of like the obvious, like it's better because it's open.
That's the only reason I need. I'm going to go and smash all my HDMI monitors. Thankfully, I only have DisplayPort anyways, because who uses HDMI?
About your monitors that have both?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave them just because DisplayPort is so precious to me. I wouldn't destroy
it. You don't want to touch that port. Okay, I got it.
Because of the disgusting HDMI port that it has on there. You know, we got to vote with our pockets. We got to make HDMI 2.1 standard just a running joke. Like, we're going to compare it to everything that's really stupid and silly, like Crocs. HDMI 2.1 standard, it's in the same bucket as Crocs.
Like Crocs.
Yeah. Sure.
Just like Crocs. Just like Crocs.
Oh, but this is actually really sad news for a lot of people and for those Linux users that actually use 4K 120 hertz TVs as their monitors.
Oh, yeah.
When, you know, unfortunately, DisplayPort is not an option. But there actually is a little bit of a trick, though, that I know some Linux users have used. And I have actually tested myself to get around this issue using a DisplayPort to HDMI 2.1 active adapter.
Nice.
And on my TV, I was able to get the 4K 120 hertz, but not the FreeSync support. Now, a lot of TVs don't even have FreeSync support.
Right.
So that's not so much of an issue for me, but I know other people who actually have TV monitors with FreeSync couldn't get the FreeSync to work. But I'm sure that will be fixed in future iterations of the adapters.
That's fantastic. I just want to point out something. So it's awesome to have Jill on this show. Because, first of all, I didn't think about, obviously, there's many reasons, but in this particular case, I didn't think about TVs not having
play ports. So many people tell me they use TVs.
Exactly. Yeah. And a TV in my opinion, you should not do that because the quality of a mediocre monitor versus a TV that it's actually still, the monitor's still better because of
resolution,
the way
the pixel density, all that.
The refresh rate is more consistent and all that sort of stuff. Like, it is a better thing to do. But if you only have an option for a TV, this is a very important difference because most TVs don't have DisplayPort support. And that's unfortunate. So I'm glad you brought that up. But also, of course, Jill has already tried this to see if it works. We already have the answer. You have the solution. Get an active adapter for your thing. And there you go. And you can thank Jill for that permission.
You realize how much of a hacker she is to kind of work around their licensing, you know, with that simple adapter.
This is what's great about it
you
is that
suck HDMI.
Like, Ryan's like, okay, we got to talk about this topic. And then Jill's like, great, I already have tested everything. So here's the solution.
I've already fixed it.
But anyway, so again, if you if you're just using DisplayPort, you're good. You don't have to care.
Yeah.
And if you're using HDMI, you could still have a solution with this active adapter. This is annoying, and it just proves that more and more these companies are completely behind the times. It reminds me of like the Netflix streaming thing with all these companies were hating on the streaming. Like, you can't do this. You can't have our media. And now there's streaming for everything.
Yeah.
It's
like, you know.
Well, what they don't realize too is they're dying. Like, HDMI is like slowly fading away and DisplayPort's taking over. And instead of being like, hey, let's make it so that we don't lose all of these people, let's try to be really flexible with this licensing thing we have, especially with a company that's done all the work for you and instead decides to sit there with their little wrinkled face and you know, waterlogged fingers that they're clicking together and be like, no, you can't have it. And it is just, that's how I picture them anyways in my mind.
I think that's exactly what it is. And it's also funny because history has proven the people who have these kinds of perspectives are always wrong and are going to fail. Mm-hmm. So you're putting off an inevitability that you're going to destroy your support of your entire connection.
Why not?
It's hilarious because of the fact that DisplayPort has been around. Everybody who is a hardware person who is into the computers, into techs, into setups and stuff, are already using DisplayPort because it's just better. And then your solution, instead of making your product a better option, is to be annoying.
Making it good harder. Job. Yeah.
And you have an option now.
This is a fake golf clap, by the way.
Like, they're stuck on the fact that set-top boxes, gaming systems, and things like that are all HDMI. But if I'm making a new console for the next generation, and I don't have to pay an additional licensing fee, which means more money in my pocket to release my new console by just going to DisplayPort, you know, I might start changing to that standard
and
there.
There's also the other option, which is, I just thought about this, like you talking about the options for the handheld consoles and set-top boxes and stuff, they can now just implement DisplayPort over USB-C. There so they go. Can have multi-solutions and not even have to worry about it. So there you go. Problem solved. Used USB-C, DisplayPort, and we're done.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, more and more video cards are getting USB-C on them. I have one on mine.
There you go. And we're going to start. Yeah. We're going to start cutting the HDMI cord. We cut our cords with TV providers. Now we're going to cut the HDMI
cord. We all cut our cords a long time ago. Now we got to cut another one, and it just has to be HDMI. Yeah.
But we ain't scared. We're in Linux. We do all kinds of crazy stuff. We'll hack your stuff. Jill will. Well,
Jill will. Tell us how to do it.
Jill will figure it out.
This episode of Destination Linux is sponsored by Linbit. Linbit has been keeping digital businesses running for over 20 years. They're the makers of open source products like DRBD, which is high availability software that has been part of the Linux kernel since 2010, and LinStore, industry-leading open source software-defined storage. Linbit has an active presence in the open source community, and they collaborate with the community to help identify and build new features. Linbit provides enterprise-grade software that runs on a variety of platforms and OSs without vendor lock-in. What that means is that you could choose the software on any platform, including specific hardware that you want to use, or just off-the-shelf hardware that you get and connect it. All of this stuff can be interchanged really easily. And with DRBD and LinStore, you can have high-speed replicated block storage in almost any configuration, whether it's Kubernetes, Apache Cloud, or Open Nebula. There's even DRBD proxy for long-distance replication. Linbit is run by its founders to this day, and all of its engineers and developers are in-house with offices in Europe and North America, which allows them to have global 24/7 support to complement their enterprise offerings. Visit linbit.com to learn more about the people behind Linbit and the awesome software for block storage, duplication, and more.
We got a company, though, that's on the other side of this we're going to talk about in the news. It's called Enti. And look, Enti is an alternative to Google Photos. Let's start there. But they're bigger than that. It's more than that. So if you're like me, you have like 500,000 gigabytes of photos of your kids taken by your
wife. It's a lot of photos.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how much that is in terabytes. Somebody can do the conversion for me, but 500,000 gigabytes is like 500 terabytes.
It might be in, it might be in petabytes or exabytes. Something.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's, I might be exaggerating.
We have a lot of photos.
A lot of cute photos, like a lot. And, you know, it's really costly for cloud storage, number one. And if you're doing just local storage, then there's the danger side of this, like a natural disaster, fire, something like that. I told people, you know, I grew up running a computer shop with my dad. And we had people coming all the time with burnt up computers. Their house had been on fire. They were like, oh my gosh, can you please try to recover the photos off this? These are the only photos I have of my kids when they were born or whatever. And so, you know, these things happen. And so just having local copies, if you've got your, you know, NAS servers and things like that, that's great. But a lot of people want to store these valuable photos and things and memories in a cloud service.
Yeah, and it's a great idea, really, having a service that just is there to put the files on and you don't have to worry about it. There's a backup, and they're probably, because of the infrastructure, having the backups of backups, you know, that you can pull from and stuff.
Multiple data centers backing it up.
It is a good idea overall.
But finding a cloud solution is tough because the big names are the ones that offer the great prices, convenience, but you generally have very terrible privacy with them and security
or
with that.
Or zero.
And the smaller companies are too expensive. It's hard to trust their privacy and security unless they're open source. And so Enti is really cool. And while we're talking about them is they've been open source, but kind of like Snaps, the one thing that wasn't open source was the server backend. But they recently announced that they are even going to, well, not going to, they have open sourced their server back end. You can go on the GitHub and see it now. Oh, snap. Look at that. They said this, our real aim behind open sourcing our servers is to offer yet another reason for Enti, that's E-N-T-E, customers to feel proud that by choosing Enti, they've made the right choice. So they have full end-to-end encryption. It's been audited by cryptographers, so they can't access your photos. They can't sell your data on your photos, and they can't do all that creepy stuff that Uncle Google does to your photos.
Yeah, that's Ryan's term, not Enti's term. Like,
it's correct. I made that
creepy.
That's
Uncle
really
Google.
Good. Enti, you can use that if you want to.
Yeah, if you want to put it in your marketing, we give you permission.
Yeah, for $15,000 because we got to pay the license for HDMI support. Enti, like I said, they were open source. They've gone fully open source now. And then you've got the end-to-end encryption on top of it. I just really like everything this company's doing. So check them out. Enti.io. That's ENTE.io. And if you're already a user of this service, please write us and let us know what you think of it. Because I love to get people's reviews on these things that are using it. Do you like it? What's the convenience like? You know, how's it compared to the big services there? And we'll make sure to share that with the community as well. But it looks like a really cool option for a cloud photo storage backup.
Yeah. And also the fact that they're going open source with a server is a huge deal. I never even heard of this company before. And when I got this information, I thought, wow, there's now I can. No reason not to use this, right?
Yeah.
Because the whole reason why you don't want to use Google for this sort of thing is because, or any of those kinds of big name companies, because they are taking the data in your photos. Like, they're doing the whole identifier of the people in the photos to like do like, hey, you could do these albums that are automatically based on this particular person, which sounds cool, but also means they're tracking your faces and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's creepy. And then also they do the thing where they can theoretically, I'm not saying they actually do this, but lawyers don't call me. The thing that they could do is take a document, take the photos, the text in a photo, and then OCR it and have your data. And if you have any important legal documents or whatever, that could be a problem. So I look at that and go, I don't want to put that stuff up there. But then looking at this, it said, oh, end-to-end encrypted. That's cool. But also a lot of companies have said that. A lot of companies have said they're end-to-end encrypted and then turns out they're not. But in this case, they're not even, they're so confident that's what is happening. That is what they did. They want you to know, hey, we're even open sourcing a server. So you could just go check it yourself.
And there's so many ways you can get NT. I mean, I was really impressed with everything they had in their download section on how you can download it. Not only, you know, as a mobile app and on Android or Apple, but a Linux desktop app image, which actually says on the website, supports auto updates.
Nice.
There you go, Michael.
Nice.
This is awesome.
This is good. I love the fact that it says that, because yeah. for those who are new to the show, you may not know about my a little bit of critique
rant.
When it comes to App Image. Rant. It's maybe a rant, but it's definitely a critique that App Image by default, the format itself, does not have an ability to update. It doesn't even have an ability to notify that there are updates. You have to install a third party launcher that adds that kind of thing, or you have to hope that the App Image developer of that, specifically of that particular app that made the developer of that app, not the App Image's format, but the developer created a way to notify you of updates, and they went above and beyond and said, you know what, we're just going to make it have auto updates if you want it. So that's awesome. So thank you for one doing that, and also yeah. thank you for making it clear that that is a part of the App Image in yeah. the website, so mm-hmm. I could use it as an example to tell the people who make App Image, just put an update system in the tool. Why do you have
no,
to do this?
We refuse. No.
Why and, do we have to do this?
And Michael and Ryan, NT is also available as an RPM, a .deb, or Pac-Man packages. So you
Arch.
Have your choice.
Done.
Oh, and it can be accessed via a web page.
Nice. Oh, that's cool.
It's awesome.
Love it.
Yeah, NT looks like a really cool service, and the fact that it's going open source, fantastic. It's such it's also really wonderful news to get right after the nonsense of HDMI.
Yes.
So thank you, NT, for becoming fully part of this community.
Yep.
So our game this week is actually called Michael.
That's
is that so?
Michael? That's an interesting name for a game. Why would it be called Michael?
This game, well, it turns out it's about not being able to remember anything. Like Michael.
I wonder if they utilize parts of Michael AI to make this game. That's fascinating, Michael. Like, there's so many similarities between this game and you.
Okay, let me get this straight. Wait, what was it about?
There. He's got remembering.
I got him.
So actually, our game this week is not called Michael, but it's called something that is very similar. It's called Hazy Dang, Mind.
I was going to say same thing, but I didn't have to. Jill just jumped right in there.
Wow.
Hazy Mind.
Okay, so for those who think that we're hard on Jill, I just want to point out something.
Jill
wrote this whole thing.
Wait, what?
I had nothing to do with this. Jill
you didn't even write this part?
No, Jill wrote it all.
Okay, so not only did Jill write it, she also wanted to double down on it and make it clear.
Jill's savage, Michael.
Aww.
Yes.
Jill, you know, you'll forget this whole conversation by the time the show's over, but...
Yeah, you have the memory of a fish, Michael.
What
a
conversation. I don't what are we talking about?
It's like a goldfish.
I have a good memory, people. I do. I have selfies to prove it.
Yeah, you do.
How many selfies do you have, Michael, going back to that out of curiosity? Before you answer that, like, I'm looking at for a percentage here because we were talking about photo storage. I told my story, but I feel like you probably have, I don't know, 500 gigabytes or so of photos, and that 89% of them are selfies of yourself.
Okay, that's ridiculous. First of all, I don't have that many photos. I want to take photos, but sometimes I just forget to do it. And I mean, I live in the moment.
Oh,
I am in the present.
Because you forget to take the photo? That is how I live
life.
Because you're a hazy mind?
And I sometimes forget to take that's exactly what. Apparently, the hazy mind thing is legitimate. I do forget to take the photos. And then I think about it. Like I go to somewhere and it's an event, like a basketball game or whatever. And then I'm coming back on in the car, and then halfway there I realized, oh, I should have took a photo of that. Yeah. And then that's so I started trying to do that more and more. And the best way to really fully experience something is to have a camera out in front of you and turn
blocking
and then not look at it.
You're trying.
And then have a
so you're avoiding the question though. What percentage of your photos are selfies, Michael?
Okay. I don't know. I'd have to check it if you wanted a genuine answer.
Are you sure if I said it was about 80%, could you confidently say, no, it's not that high?
I can't confidently say it's not 80%, but I can say it's probably not 80%. It's I think it's more along the lines of 50-50 because I usually, I kind of, when I go on like trips and events and conferences, I take photos of things that I do at the thing, but sometimes I am in those photos. So it is possible. Okay. Here's a question. Does selfie require you to take the photo yourself, or if you hand someone else the photo, does it count?
You have to take the photo yourself as a selfie. Yeah.
Okay. So there are so a lot of these where I'm in the photo does not count because it's not a selfie. I have a very good method of getting someone to take a photo of me and my beloved and
by going
that sort
to
of stuff.
Hey, take us a photo.
No,
of us.
No. Right. Here's the trick. Anybody who wants to know the trick, here it is. Like extra special tip of the week. If you go to someone and say, hey, would you like me to take a photo of you and your person or family or whatever? They typically were like, that's so nice of you. Yes, we would love that. And then you do it. And then you say, hey, would you be okay with doing it for us? And they're usually okay with it. So there's a life hack for you. Boom.
Man, that's like a tip, double tip and trick of the week. All right.
Yeah. Well,
let's get back into this hazy mind.
Oh, that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
I forgot.
So... with this game called Michael's Hazy Mind.
They should rename it. Yeah.
No, so the game Hazy Mind describes itself on Steam like this. You can't remember anything and all you can see is her in capitals, H-E-R. Delve into your story and uncover the truth behind what happened to you and your parents.
What happened to you, Michael, and your
and
parents?
This is a very well done psychological horror game.
Very long answer.
That has really good voice acting, multiple endings, an awesome and intriguing story, interactive storytelling that keeps you very engaged, and a truly horrifying soundtrack that intensifies the atmosphere.
Is it Michael
is it
singing?
It's horrifying because it's Ryan singing?
No, it's Michael singing.
Oh.
I got it first. I got it out first.
Yes. You did say it.
Your mind is too hazy to keep up.
Yes. So I actually love the minimal graphics and its use of positive and negative space to create an eerily dark and disturbing atmosphere. And what's really
Ryan's
cool...
Ryan's an eerily dark and disturbing atmosphere.
Actually, he is.
I mean, look behind you. All your lights are off.
Most of my lights are dying. Except one are on.
Yeah.
And the game has beautiful animated hand-drawn, sketched-like look, which enhances your anxiety. It's really, really well done.
And that's a wonderful way of saying something that's like, it enhances your anxiety. I don't think I want that.
That's what I want.
I know.
I'm so anxious from work. I want to come home and re-experience that anxiousness again in a video game.
Exactly.
Yes.
No, not only just experiencing it, but enhance it.
Yes. So you can grab this beautifully crafted game on Steam for $8.79 on sale till Monday. And it supports our Linux Penguins out of the box.
Nice.
A great
game. Very cool. All right, Jill, what do you got for Software Spotlight?
So we have so many creative minds in our audience, and there's no doubt there is an aspiring writer listening to us right now. So our Software Spotlight this week is called WonderPen. Now, WonderPen is designed specifically for writing essays or novels, and it has a lot of awesome, useful features, like tree-like multi-level directory where you can drag and drop and sort or change the nesting relationship. And it just makes it so much easier for organization. And it can be switched to a full-screen composition mode to eliminate distractions and concentrate on your writing.
That is cool. Very good, because very my very
easy mind.
High ADD, high level of a ADHD. Distraction and very low level of concentration. So yes, this is that's not a good combination, by the way. You don't want that combination.
It's yeah.
Aww. Especially when you forget that you have it. Yes. That's even worse.
When you forget. Yes. Yeah.
Well, maybe you can start writing it down in WonderPen here, Michael.
Yeah.
WonderPen.
Yeah. WonderPen. So you can also, what's cool is you can easily export it to image, PDF, EPUB, Word, HTML, and other formats. And it supports whiteboard mode, where you can add notes, images, checklists, tables in a Kanban-like style and other content. And it supports full text search and replace, supports chapter splitting and merging. Okay. And one of my favorite features, documents are automatically saved after modification.
Very cool app.
Very nice. Very
yeah.
Nice. And also, I think the best part about it is that apparently it has Flatpak support.
Yes, it does.
Which is
that's pretty dope.
Okay, that's not the best part. That's an awesome thing. I love it when it's a Flatpak, because it just makes it easier. Especially, for example, you know, I put a tweet out today that was kind of a joke.
It's an X. It's an X-itter.
It's
zitter.
It's a zitter.
Okay. First of all, I'm a marketing person who's also into branding. And that is easily the dumbest, worst decision of rebranding that has ever happened. I mean, New Coke was bad, but this is just terrible. If you talk to any marketing company, they will, everyone, I think everyone on the planet will go, yeah, that was dumb.
It would have been fine if they had something to go with the X, like a tweet. Like some version of that.
Yeah,
there's none.
But Twitter is such a good brand already with the little bird and the tweet. It was like accidental gold of a branding.
It was.
And it was established so well. And then they gotta go ruin it. Cause for what? Because you happen to own the domain x.com?
All right, Michael, we're talking about WonderPen. I know you have a hazy mind, but we're talking about WonderPen.
That's not hazy. That's just getting distracted, like I said earlier. But anyway, I was talking about this tweet. I was talking about this tweet, and I posted something about how I was doing an upgrade. I haven't upgraded because... Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a weird paradox of my own, where I have one machine that I am using the latest and greatest Fedora that's not even out yet. It's actually not even beta yet. It's the nightly builds. So I can play with KDE Plasma 6. And I have another machine that is running Fedora 35 with Plasma 5.24. So it has this weird super old and super new kind of vibe. And I made this as a joke just because I realized it. And then I went to look at that machine that had the old version. And I realized, maybe I should update. But before I update, I need to move all these files, which is really good because we talked about Inti. And that's a good way to restore your files. So that's convenient that we're talking about this. But I started going through all my different files and trying to move all my photos off and all my documents and making sure I don't lose anything and all that sort of stuff before I do I never got to the upgrade, and I might not, I'll probably forget. But I did the process of trying to move everything over. And this was kind of funny because I was trying to look for a specific application we might talk about in the future. And I found it on Flatpak. I tried to install it from the repos, but it turns out when you don't update your system for 2.5 years, the repos don't work anymore.
Yeah.
apparently that's what happens.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, but I need to do this. is there a flat pack? And there was a flat pack. So thank you, flat pack, for existing.
Or yeah, that was could a have very just updated long your system. Tangent. You know, you could have just updated your system.
But thought. I need to make sure my files don't go away so I don't destroy everything just in case.
One update.
But we just talked about the applications don't work and the system update probably doesn't work either. I probably have to nuke and pave at this point. I don't know.
Is this your tip of the week, by the way, to not update your system?
That is definitely not the tip of the week. I already gave a life hack tip of the week, but I'm going to give you another tip of the week, which is probably one of the best things I learned when dealing with Ryan when it comes to hardware and how to pick the hardware. Because for those who don't know, Ryan is somewhat of an expert. In fact, he's a hardware addict.
Yes.
And for me, I started on my path to becoming a hardware addict. Thanks to Ryan. But prior to that, I knew that GPUs and CPUs were different. And which one was the best?
But not much.
I had no idea. Not even slightly. So our community feedback this week is talking about a website that helps you learn what good hardware is and their compatibility with other pieces of hardware. And that is PC Part Picker. PC Part Picker is fantastic. It's a site that lets you ensure compatibility with parts that you're picking, find the best prices because you can pull from different resources and different websites, and you can even check out community builds where people put together their favorite builds based on their experience. And this is a great resource to add to your library for when you need to check out what the new parts are, pcpartpicker.com, and you can just click on the builder part at the top. It's awesome. And it's also a great way that if you're like me and you don't know that much about hardware, it can help you find what works. Yeah. And also, if you have a friend who does know about hardware, you can go through the list and put a bunch of stuff in there to see if it's good or not, and then just give them that list, and then they can tell you whether it's good or not.
I feel like you've done this to me.
I may have done this multiple times to Ryan, this exact thing. Yes, I have. I mean, at least 4 or 5 times.
It helps me know your budget. It helps me know the type of computer you're looking to build. Yeah. So it's actually really beneficial. And then we could just help fine tune it from there. Kind of like when I make a really crappy thumbnail, but the general idea of what I'm wanting to do is there. And I send that to Michael and then he makes it an actual good looking thumbnail. Yeah. So it works.
We all have our pros and cons, right? Exactly. I'm good at art, not good at hardware. Ryan is good at hardware and horrific at art.
Horrific? I don't know. No, Jill said one time on one of my art pieces, well, Ryan, it was a good use of negative space, which I noticed she also used that to describe the game this week. So I'm not sure if that was a compliment.
Yes,
or it is not a compliment. It's a very, it's proof that Jill is a wonderful, nice person who can find something positive to say to anyone, even if there is nothing really redeemable about it.
You should try to be more like Jill, Michael.
So we should using all words try like to horrific. Be more like Jill. But I also have acknowledged that I will forget to try to be like Jill pretty quickly because of my hazy mind. So that's my defense.
So I have some exciting news for people here.
Wait, what's that?
We're going to go to scale. Actually going to be there next week. We're going to be at
next week. Where's Scale at?
Well, Scale is in Pasadena, California, but this is where it gets tricky because the convention center is called the Pasadena Convention Center.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. That's very clear, actually. I think that's simple. And
Pasadena, and in California. So we're going to be in California, and this is the only event the entire year that you get to see me, Michael, and Jill all at the same time. So it's a really big deal. We hope you'll join us at our booth, which is appropriately number 420. You won't be able to forget that. Michael won't even forget
appropriately.
That.
Appropriately. I won't allow you to forget this. Because even though I have a hazy mind, memes, I am a big fan of memes. Yeah. So 420 all day. All day, every day.
Best number ever. Yeah,
for that. And also the fact, just to be clear, we did not choose this number for our booth.
Yeah, I know.
It just happened. I saw it in the document. It says, your booth is 420. I'm like, I have to tell everyone. That is our booth number.
Yeah. So there's some really cool things happening. Number one, we talked about at the beginning, Linbit is one of the reasons why we're able to attend Scale, and we thank them so much for helping to fund that. So please support them. Go just check out their website, check out their services and what they do. Go to Linbit and check out their amazing stuff. And we just appreciate it so much. But also I want to thank Raspberry Pi Foundation because we're doing giveaways, and Raspberry Pi Foundation is sponsoring one of those giveaways. So, man, this is some big companies. And then we got the Red Hat summit that they invited us to attend. And we're kind of a big deal, Michael. We're big deals.
I don't know if we're big deals.
No,
we're at least like medium deals. Like
we're,
you know,
we're schmedium deals.
We're schmediums. We're, we might be schmedia big, schmediag, schmediag, schmediag.
And
I don't know.
We're interviewing some very, very, very special people in the Linux community.
Oh, yeah. Some huge names in Linux that we'll have some interviews with.
That's coming at scale. And it might come at Red Hat. Who knows? Because we're so schmedium. We might even get some interesting interviews.
That could be a new shirt. Check out the most schmedium podcast.
The most schmedium podcast you could get. Or it just says, we're schmedium.
Oh, well, and make sure to use the promo code TUX on the first page of Scale registration to get 50% off your Scale Pass.
That's right. There you go.
Man, they're even giving our listeners 50% off. That's how schmedium we are. Schmedium deal we are.
That's how schmedium of a deal we are. I love it.
That's amazing.
So go to SoCalLinuxExpo.org. I am so happy with myself. Because last year we kept saying Social Linux Expo all the time.
That's right.
I specifically made sure to remember that. So hazy mind, ha! I actually have a good mind sometimes. Must have
wrote it down with Wonder Pen.
it isn't always like a goldfish. I can't confirm
nor deny.
Yeah. All right. Well, a big thank you to each and every one of you for supporting us by watching or listening to Destination Linux. However you do it, we love your faces. And we especially want to thank our patrons because you also make it possible for us to go on these trips and do these things. Without your funding, we wouldn't be able to do it. We appreciate you all so much. But for everyone, you can come join us on our Discord. Go to tuxdigital.com/discord. And there are topics on Linux, open source, gaming, movies, fitness, all of that stuff right there. This is the community and you've already got something in common with everyone. You love Jill. We love Jill. You could just start off talking. Exactly. I mean, you got the Linux and open source stuff too, but you love Jill. And so you already got something in common we can all talk about on the Discord channel. It's a great way to network. It's an awesome place to hang out.
Yeah. So go to tuxdigital.com/discord. And if you want to become a patron, you can get special access to the patron only section of our Discord server by going to tuxdigital.com/membership, where you can get that plus a bunch of other cool stuff. You can watch us live as we do the show. And sometimes I forget to record and we do two shows and you get two shows live.
That happened, people.
That happened literally today.
We literally did a whole show before this one because Michael didn't hit record.
Ryan didn't notice that I didn't hit record. So is it all on me?
But Jill didn't notice either.
No, I didn't either. That's my fault too.
That's okay. That's 80%. Okay, no. 60% my fault, and that you share the rest.
75.
60% my
fault. You're supposed to be the one to click the button.
Really. But also, you're supposed to look at it and confirm.
We've never really had that as a rule.
We've not had a conversation about this. I mean, we've never had a conversation that I have to click the button either. So really.
It's 80% your fault, 20%.
60%. I agree, 60%. So you maybe even get a whole other show that no one else will ever see because there's no recording of it.
If you were here, you could have watched the show.
Exactly. Yes. You could have watched the show that now never happened. Yeah. So, but also, you can join us in the patron-only post show that happens every week after the show when we get done with the first and only show typically that we are recording.
Man.
So go to tuxdigital.com/membership to get access to all of this and so much more, and sometimes double the content. But you can also go to tuxdigital.com/store if you'd like to help out the show by picking up some swag, because we have t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, stickers, and so much more. And in fact, there is going to be more content. I'm not going to say specifically what's coming, but something is coming very soon. In fact, before we go to scale, there will be new stuff in the store.
Man, you better hurry up and buy the old stuff before the new stuff gets there, because there's not going to be another chance to get the old stuff. So,
I didn't want to get
the new stuff too, but you better go get the old stuff now so that you can have both the old stuff and the new stuff.
That's true. It's a good point to mention that this new this new merch in the store is also going to be a part of a new store, that some of the stuff will be going away because it's, you know, it's not, it's like more like a seasonal type of thing.
Help us help you.
Yeah, we want to make, if you want to get to stuff right now, you have maybe a week or so.
Listen, if you have no fashion sense, which if you're that person, you're probably wearing Crocs, for example.
Yeah.
Then help, let us help dress you. We'll put, give you some cool shirts.
Let
some
us
cool
help hats, dress you.
You know, like things you like get that.
Hoodies. And then
you, once you put on that cool shirt and a cool hat, you're going to look down and go, why am I wearing plastic shoes? And then we're going to help you get real shoes on your feet and stuff like that. That's how that, it works.
You know, it's that, that would be, that's fantastic. That's a great pitch. And it also has inspired me to see if I can put Crocs that are customized to Dux Digital and Destination Linux into the store.
You better never put Crocs on our store.
You gotta do this.
I will hunt you down if I see Crocs on that store, man.
That would be amazing.
And make sure to check out all our incredible shows here on Tux Digital. That's right. We have an entire network of shows to fill your entire week with geeky goodness. Check out the awesome Linux Out Loud with Matt, Nate, and Wendy having a blast and sharing their passion for Linux and open source. And I want to thank Wendy for her wonderful editing of Destination Linux that she does every week.
Whoa, is are you okay, Jill? Wendy, twice if you're okay.
Wendy's watching us right now from the patron room. Wendy, I think you're great and amazing, and you're the best host on Linux Out Loud. Michael, go!
I can't see her right now because I don't have the.
Do it, trust me.
You're the fantastic editor, Wendy, and we appreciate you doing the Linux Out Loud show. And please don't make us look stupid in this. Actually, editing. I already did that by telling everybody I did two shows and I didn't even record the
first. Like, I don't have to do any work to make you all look stupid.
You don't have to make me look stupid. I can do that all by myself. Yeah.
And she was the only one to witness it. And everyone, head to TuxDigital.com and subscribe to all our great shows. And don't forget to leave a rating on your favorite app so others can discover the power of open source and keep those penguins marching in the full Monty of Linux and open source awesome sauce.
Everybody, have a great week. And remember that the journey itself is just as important as the destination.
Thanks, everyone. You know what I was laughing about just then
when I was like inside when I was reading that is that I had to look down at the notes when I've said this line
a million
382 times now. I was like, let me look down and make sure I remember the journey itself is just
our next destination.
Talk about a hazy mind, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to forget it. Everybody have a great week.
Like, wait, did we say everyone or everybody? I don't we have to check. the best part about that is that I actually have it when I do it. I have it there too, just to be like, make sure that I see it.
Oh, how funny. But
I do it because I need to know when the timing of it is, not because I can't remember.
I did it just in case I.
Yeah. You were doing it for the timing, I assume.
Yes. Time. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
timing. Mm-hmm. Also, speaking of timing, we have successfully recorded this time.
Woohoo!
And theoretically.
No, all I have to do is click the stop button and we're done.
Yay.
Like, I actually did it.
I think you better click it now so nothing happens.
Bye, everyone.